Today feels like one of those days in the church year where we're standing at a crossroads. We're well into the season of Easter. Today's the sixth Sunday of Easter. And we are beginning to see foreshadows of upcoming events in the church calendar. Did you catch in John's Gospel Jesus talking about being with them for only a little while longer? Well, this week on Thursday is Ascension Day, that day where we remember and celebrate Jesus' ascension into heaven. Remember, he's been hanging around with the disciples for the last several weeks post-Easter, but soon he will ascend to the Father. Similarly, did you hear Jesus talking about sending the Advocate and the Spirit of Truth? Well, in just a couple weeks, we will celebrate the Festival of Pentecost, where we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit among those first believers. All this is to say that we have some really strong foreshadowing going on, which makes today feel like a bit of a pivot point. We're really leaning in to the post-Easter reality, which we can also clearly see in our lesson from 1 Peter. The opening line of my sermon was taken from here. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an account of the hope that is in you. We might also translate this as, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within you. I know that for many of us, this can seem like a daunting task. On a good day, we might be able to stumble our way through something about Jesus' death and resurrection, or God's love, or something else, to explain our faith and our hope. But what about the more difficult, the more complex questions? In other words, how well do we know our faith? How well can we explain it to someone who has no idea about Christianity? You see, Christianity has long been interested not just in right action, though right action is really important, but also in right belief. You know, the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creeds, which we share with nearly all of the world's Christians, and we say together here on almost every Sunday morning. Well, I won't bore you with all the details of those right now, but let's just say that they are the result of hundreds of years of debate in the early church. Yes, even literal fistfights over getting the core beliefs of Christianity just right. We might say that knowing what we believe is just as important as living out those beliefs. Also important, as Peter points out, is being able to articulate those beliefs, to know them deep in our bones, and to go deeper into the faith that we have been given each and every day, and to never stop, because as long as we live, there is room to go deeper and deeper into the mysteries of our faith. Notice the tactic that Paul uses in our reading from Acts. He's explaining to the Athenians his beliefs. We might say that he is giving an account of the hope that is within him. What he does, however, is he does so on the Athenians' terms. He notes the universal human longing for the divine, acknowledging the various objects of worship throughout the city, objects of gold and silver and stone, including an object with an inscription to an unknown God. Paul makes do with what he is given, and he shows how there is at least a kernel of truth in what the Athenians are doing, and then expanding on it further with his own mastery of the Christian faith. He points out that they are right to direct their attention toward the divine, but he encourages them to look beyond material objects, to God who made the world and everything in it, and who does not live in shrines made by human hands. Just as Paul adjusted his message so the Athenians could encounter God, we are called to talk about God's love in today's vernacular so that everyone can understand it. As I was reading over various resources in preparation for this homily, I stumbled across an interesting principle, most commonly utilized in the business sector. It's called the Stockdale paradox. And simply put, it goes something like this. We must balance optimism with realism. To be overly optimistic in a challenging situation can be just as damaging as being overly realistic in a challenging situation. This principle is named after the naval admiral and 7-year prisoner of war during Vietnam, James Stockdale. In a discussion with an interviewer reflecting on being a prisoner of war, Stockdale offered this commentary. This is a quote. The interviewer starts off asking, "Who didn't make it out?" He responds, "Oh, that's easy," he said. "The optimists." "The optimists? I don't understand," I said. "The optimists. Oh, they were the ones who said, we're going to be out by Christmas. And Christmas would come and Christmas would go. And then they'd say, we're going to be out by Easter. And Easter would come and Easter would go. And then Thanksgiving. And then it would be Christmas again. And they died of a broken heart." So you can see the paradox is a bit counterintuitive for many of us. You're often told to be optimistic or to have hope, and that holds true. But we must also be realistic about the situation at hand. Business leaders and families do not look at a dwindling bank account and then simply cross their fingers and hope for the best. They must take into account reality, make a realistic plan to move forward, and also remain optimistic. This certainly seems like good advice during a time of pandemic. Yes, we will get through this, and in the meantime, it is going to be very difficult. It has already been very difficult. So it is with our faith in God. We must be ready to give an account of the hope we have, because things are often not so great. And yet our hope remains. We do not believe that everything is always going to be okay, but we do believe that in the end, God wins, love wins, and life prevails over death. That's the Easter story. That's who we are. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is the reason for our hope as Christians. And as Peter says, we must always be ready to give an explanation of our reasons for that hope. At times over the centuries, different people have suggested that we must make the Christian faith less weird or less challenging or less rigorous in order to make it more attractive to people, to make it more like the surrounding culture, to make it more like whatever the latest trend is. Yet study after study points out that exactly the opposite is true. What really produces strong, lifelong Christians is a robust, dynamic, and rigorous faith. Faith that asks something of each of us. Faith that holds us to a set of standards. Faith that is robust and dynamic enough to embrace the full spectrum of whatever life throws at us. Faith that critiques the prevailing culture. Faith that is both meaningful and able to make meaning. These are the ingredients that produce lifelong disciples. This isn't a one-size-fits-all approach, of course. Different people will go about this journey of faith in different ways, and that's a good thing, and our faith can handle it. It's that big. But it is my earnest hope for you, as your priest, to do everything in my power to facilitate your growth as a Christian, to help you grow each day in your knowledge of the faith, to grow each day in your love of those around you, and to grow each day in your love of God. In all these things, we find more fully the explanation for the hope that is within us. Not an unrealistic hope, but a realistic hope. A hope that through it all, God is there with us. And in the end, God's love prevails. Amen.